ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मोक्ष संन्यास योगो नाम अष्टादशोध्यायः। सो वी हैव कम अप टू वर्स नंबर 35। In three verses, 33, 34 and 35, Bhagavan discussed dhritihi, three types of dhriti. Sattviki dhritihi, rajasi dhritihi, sattviki dhritihi. So dhritihi is a willpower, the resolve, the fortitude. We come up to this 35th verse where we saw the person of Tamasi Dhritihi. Towards the end we saw Tamasi Dhritihi. Is very much given to dullness, simply thinking in the mind without doing the needful. Daydreaming, fear, anxiety, grief. All these, that person of Tamasi Dhritihi is not able to give them up, that he holds on to them. And Durmedhaha, where the thinking itself is wrong. With all these problems, can be seen with the person of tamasic willpower, tamasi dhritihi. So today we have to start with 36th verse, where Bhagavan is going to discuss the sukham, threefold sukham. Sukham, 36th verse, I'm reading now. Sukham tvidanim trividham. Sukham tvidanim trividham. Shrunume bharatarshabha. Sukham tvidanim trividham. Shrunume bharatarshabha. Abhyasad ramate yatra, abhyasad ramate yatra, dukkhantam nanigachati. Na cha, dukkhantam cha nigachati. Sukham tvidanim trividham, shrunume bharatarshabha. Abhyasad ramate yatra dukkhantam cha nigachati. Sukham tvidanim trividham shrunume bharatarshabha. Abhyasad ramate yatra dukkhantam cha nigachati. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam. Tatsukham sattvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Vishayendriya sanyogad yattadagre mrutopamam. Pariname vishamiva tatsukham rajasam smritam. Yadagre chanubandhecha sukham mohanamatmanaha. Nidralasya pramadottham tattamasamudahritam. యదగ్రే చానుబంధే చ సుఖం మోహనమాత్మనః నిద్రాలస్య ప్రమాదోత్థం తత్తామసముదాహృతం. సో హావింగ్ డిస్కస్డ్ త్రీ ఫోర్డ్ ధృతిస్ విల్ పవర్, భగవాన్ ఇంట్రడ్యూసెస్ ది నెక్స్ట్ ది సుఖం ఇన్ 35th వర్స్. Then 35th verse we saw tamasi dhriti. In 36th verse, Bhagavan introduces the topic of sukham, where he says sukham is also of three types, threefold sukham. Then he explains in 37th, 38th, and 39th, in three verses, sukham of threefold sukham. Satvikam sukham is discussed in 37. Rajasam sukham is discussed in 38th verse. Tamasam sukham is discussed in 39th verse. So what does Bhagavan say in the 36th verse? Sukham tvidanim trividham shrunume bharatarshabha abhyasadramate yatra dukkhantam cha nigachati. So in his 36th verse, Bhagavan says, "Hey Bharatarshabha, O exalted among the people of Bharata clan, O Arjuna, hey Bharatarshabha, hey Arjuna, may Shrunu, Shrunu, may you listen, may to me, may you listen to me. Hey Bharatarshabha, Shrunu me, may you listen to me. Or may you listen from me." For both you can say, may you listen to me. Idanim, now. Idanim, shrunu me. May you listen to me now. What you should listen to me now? Until now you heard about the dhriti, willpower. Now you listen to me regarding sukham. Listen to me about sukham. Trividham to sukham. Sukham to trividham. Sukham to trividham. Sukham, the pleasure is of threefold. Or you can use the words happiness also. Happiness is threefold. Arjuna, now may you listen to me. Trividham to sukham, listen to me about threefold sukham. Yatra, and how people revel in that sukham, how people revel in the threefold happiness. He says, abhyasat yatra ramate, abhyasat. Ramate means one revels, one enjoys, one delights, one indulges. Yatra, in which ramate, one indulges. So may you listen to me about threefold happiness in which one indulges. Yatra ramate, how does one indulge in threefold happiness? It is said, abhyasat. It is possible for anyone to indulge in any type of happiness only because of the practice. Here the word practice implies the habit. Abhyasat. Abhyasat means the habit born of long practice. because of habit, because of practice. And an indulgence in such pleasure, indulgence in any type of pleasure, which happens as a result of long practice, as a result of having a habit of long practice, and that indulgence in any sukham, how does one indulge? So, dukkhantam nigacchati. Dukkha anta means what? The end of pain. Nigacchati means one indulges in the threefold happiness because of one's habit. And comes to the end of pain. Dukkantam nigacchati. Nigacchati means he reaches or comes to the end of pain. Comes to the end of pain. Dukkantam nigacchati. Dukkasya antam dukkantam. Nigacchati means one goes to the end of pain. So what Bhagavan says in this, hey Arjuna, hey Bharatarshava, sukham tu trividham. Idani me shruno. May you listen to me, the threefold sukham. Yatra, in which a person rejoices or indulges abhyasat, because of his practice or habit, and cha dukkhantam nigacchati, and goes to the end of pain or comes to the end of pain. So what Bhagavan says in this? Now Bhagavan freshly comes to the next topic, sukham. And he says, how we understood dhritihi, etc., in keeping with the predominance of gunas, and sattviki, dhritihi, rajasi, dhritihi, etc. Here also, sukham also is of three types, threefold, trividham sukham. And sukham literally means pleasure also, joy, happiness. Sukham means pleasure, sukham means joy, sukham means happiness. The highest degree of happiness or any infinite degree of happiness, pleasure, anything is implied by the word sukham. Sukham means happiness, pleasure, joy. And here trividham. How can sukham be threefold? Yes, sukham is happiness, joy also is said to be three types in keeping with the threefold, in keeping with the predominance of three gunas. Or the sukham also is threefold based on threefold gunas. Based on three gunas. Sattvikaha gunaha, rajasaha gunaha, tamasaha gunaha. So based on sattvikaha gunaha, sukham is said to be sattvikam sukham. So also rajasam sukham and tamasam sukham. So here, what Bhagavan wants to make it very clear. It is very, very natural for every living being, especially human being, to be searching for, craving for, aspiring for sukham, happiness. There's not even one being in the world, not even one human being in the world, who is not desirous of happiness. In fact, Shastra makes it very clear, whoever does anything and anything and everything is done by anybody is ultimately for one's own happiness. When we analyzed Purusharthas, we understood very well whatever a human being wants to accomplish in life, achieve in life, can be categorized into four as Artha, Kamaha, Dharmaha, Mokshaha. There's no fifth pursuit in human life. All four pursuits. So all that a human being wants to achieve in life alone is said to be in the form of Artha, Kama, Dharma, Mokshas. So all those four are pursued. We already understood, even though a person pursues Artha for security, with Purushartha Nischaya or without Purushartha Nischaya, knowing the ultimate purpose of living this life, not knowing the ultimate purpose of living this life, irrespective of whether a person has Viveka or not, whoever, every human being is pursuing Artha for security. Every human being is given to the enjoyment of pleasures. Every human being is involved in doing one's own duties, also in charitable activities, in performance of rituals, ultimately to accumulate punyam. So a human being who knows the value of punyam is interested in accumulating punyam also. Therefore, pursuit of Artha, Kama, Dharmas also, ultimately, if you see, even the person pursues Artha for security, a person pursues Kama for enjoyment of pleasures, and Dharma for accumulating punyam, for enjoying pleasures in this world as well as the hereafter, still through all the Artha, Kama, Dharma pursuits, what is ultimately sought after by every human being is happiness. Therefore, it is very well-known fact that all living beings, including human beings, of course, definitely the human beings specifically, naturally desperately aspiring for happiness. So, aspiring for joy, aspiring for happiness, definitely is not a cultivated desire. Please understand, I'm taking a very important lesson. Aspiring for happiness in life is not a cultivated desire. Desire for happiness is not a cultivated desire. It is a natural, instinctive desire. And hence Krishna says here that every being wants happiness. Every human being is desperately in search of happiness. Even though all living beings pursue happiness, all living beings want happiness, still, a human being endowed with the faculty of choice, being endowed with the willpower, human being has a choice with regard to the type of happiness he wants to enjoy. A human being alone has a choice with regard to the type of happiness he wants to enjoy. It means a person does not have any choice about enjoying happiness, but a person has choice over the type of happiness he wants to enjoy. So happiness is a common human universal end. But the happiness is threefold. So which type of happiness the person wants to experience? that is in his choice. The type of happiness any human being wants to experience is in his choice. So, in keeping with the person's, the degree of viveka the person has, if a person is a highly viveki, a person of discriminative understanding, naturally, his choice of the type of happiness will be different. He will choose a highly brilliant person, will choose the right type of happiness. Even the right type of happiness means it, the happiness is something which a person discovers in indulging, in enjoying something. It means, happiness here means the pleasure. I'm talking about the pleasure. Even though we know very well, Shastra makes it very clear. See, this non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting is happiness. And happiness is synonym of fullness or limitlessness. And happiness is the very swarupam of the reality. Happiness happens to be the swarup of reality. Happiness is the innermost nature, essential nature of every individual being. Happiness, full synonym of fullness, is the one's own essential nature, one's own swarupam, the swarup of every being, because happiness is swarup of the truth, reality. That's why it is said happiness is something to be discovered. It cannot be attained, it is said. But still, the different degrees of pleasures, and they're all expressions or manifestations of fractions of fullness. Even though fullness of happiness, purna anandaha, fullness of happiness cannot be attained, need not be attained, it is there as one's own swarupam. It is something to be discovered as one's, by way of discovering the very reality, obtaining as one's own self. But still, there's a pleasure, there's joy, there's a pleasure, which is threefold. And any pleasure, any degree of pleasure one experiences, any degree of pleasure or joy one experiences is nothing but manifestation of fraction of that fullness, which is one's own swarupa. Therefore, not only the purnanandaha, not only the fullness of happiness, even the fraction of happiness in terms of pleasure, any degree of fraction of fullness or happiness is also manifestation of one's own swarupam. It is not from external world of objects. Whether time-bound fraction of happiness in terms of pleasure, or whether it is fullness of happiness, anything is one's own swarupam, which is not from any external object. This has been made very clear already in our Shastra study. Now, if a person has to, please listen to me, if a person has to drink something or eat something, to appease his hunger, if you ask, is there any choice on the part of that person in eating some food? Because hunger is a natural problem, it has to be addressed. Therefore, having to eat some food or the other is a choiceless one. Every living being in the world has to eat food to survive, to appease the hunger. There's no choice over eating the food. There's no choice over eating the food, but there is a choice over which type of food to eat. One has choice whether one should choose to eat some Western food or Indian food or vegetarian food or non-vegetarian food, etc. Even though there's no choice over eating food, every living being has to choicelessly eat food, because the eating food is the only means of appeasing one's natural problem of hunger. Because hunger is not created by us. Hunger is a natural physical need, physical urge. So food has to be eaten. It cannot be. There's no choice about eating. But which type of food I should eat? There one can have choice. One has choice. Where one should eat, how much one should eat, which food one should eat, in which hotel one should eat, etc. That choice is there. But there's no choice about eating food. Similarly, please understand, similarly, there is no choice about the experience of pleasure, happiness. Just as there's no choice, that's why I told you already, hunger or thirst are natural, biological, natural urges. Hunger is a natural urge. Thirst is a natural urge. Therefore, there's no choice about eating food. One cannot choose not to eat food. How long? One Ekadashi, one day one can fast. But one cannot decide not to eat at all. One cannot decide not to drink at all anything. Because thirst and hunger happen to be natural, biological or physical urges. One has to eat food to appease the hunger. One has to drink water to quench the thirst. Because it's a natural, instinctive urge. But one can have choice over which type of food one should eat. Choice is possible only in terms of what type of food I should eat. But whether I should eat food or not, there is no choice. You have to eat. Similarly, do I need happiness or not? Should I pursue happiness? Should I have happiness or not? There's no choice. So I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. That is the common human fundamental desire. And this, I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody, is also natural emotional urge. It is not a cultivated desire. It's a natural emotional urge. Therefore, there's no choice over happiness. But definitely, but the choice is there in terms of which type of sukham I want to experience. The choice is there with reference to which type of sukham I want to experience. There are choices. I can choose to experience sattvikam sukham. I can choose to experience rajasam sukham. I can choose to experience or not to experience tamasam sukham. So Bhagavan says, do I need sattvikam sukham, rajasam sukham, tamasam sukham? There, the choice is in my hands. Whether I want sukham or not, the choice is not in my hands. I definitely, desperately want happiness. There's no choice. But which sukham I want, there is a choice. Choice is possible. So, Bhagavan says, Arjuna, may you listen to my teaching regarding the happiness. And it is important for everyone. Please listen. It is very important for everyone to make it a point to, it is very important for everyone to train one's mind. It is very important for everyone to train one's mind to be able to enjoy a given type of joy, a given type of pleasure. Exactly like how gradually we see children developing taste, developing liking or taste for things with gradual practice. Which is something you used to say. He never used to like this bitter gourd. But by practice, he started liking it. So one can train one's mind to experience, to revel in any type of, any one given type of joy, pleasure. We all of us naturally, gradually develop taste for something only by practice. We all develop interest in something, taste for something, liking for something, only by practice. It is possible for us to develop liking or taste for any given type of food or any given type of place. I'm going to music, for anything, only by practice. If we're constantly given the practice of eating some food, then naturally we develop, you know, love for that food. We develop taste for that. It need not, it's not only food. Even if we are given to the practice of wearing a certain type of dress and it becomes a habit, then we like it. So by developing habit as a result of practicing, one can develop taste or interest in certain things. Like one can develop love for certain type of food, or one can develop taste for a certain type of dress. One can develop taste for a certain type of music or fine art, dance, anything. So what is implied is only by training the mind, by constant practice, one has to develop taste for something, one has to develop liking for something. So what Shastram says is, it's all in our hands. We have to train our mind to develop taste for certain things, to develop habit. Therefore, better, what Shastram implies is, better we also try to train our mind for a good for righteous or good type of things. Similarly here, even happiness also, by training our mind, by having constant practice, we can develop love for Satvikam Sukham. So Bhagavan says here, Abhyasat Yatra Ramate. Abhyasat Ramate means only by constant continuous practice. Abhyasat, only because of one's constant practice by training one's mind for length of time. And Ramate means one has one's mind reveling in that given thing. Abhyasat Ramate. See, if a person revels in something, the reveling in something, that mind is involved in reveling in that something only because of the constant, continuous, long practice and training of the mind. It's all by training one's mind, by constant practice. Sometimes we always see what the children are interested in. The children have certain liking for certain things and they revel in it, they enjoy it. And the parents must be wondering, oh my God, what is there in it? It's why that they like it so much? Because we do not know, because they developed by training, by constant practice, people develop some taste for it. Therefore, they revel in it. Whereas the person who is not used to it, who has not developed one's taste for it, one who has not trained one's mind in enjoying something, that person may not like it. See, so what you do not like it, others may enjoy it. What others enjoy it, oh, others like it, which is not joy for them, which you may not like it. It's all because of the practice. If a person is given to the training or practice of something for length of time, not gradually that person's mind begins to revel in that given habit, given object also. So what Bhagavan says, Dukkantam Nigachati means, so this is how any human being by constant practice or Abhyasat, constant practice, by training one's mind, and gradually begins to revel in the given object. Means it doesn't stop with mere revelation. Dukkantam Nigachati means even in reveling in such pleasure, such joy, a person even becomes free from sorrow temporarily. Dukkantam Nigachanti means what? A person goes to the end of sorrow. End of sorrow means what? For him, even sorrow is not there for some time. What Bhagavan says, which joy really takes one to the end of sorrow? Which joy, which sukham helps one resolve the sorrow? What Bhagavan means is all three types of sukham, Satvikam Sukham, Rajasam Sukham, Tamasam Sukham, all three types of sukham can take the person to the end of sorrow. It means any sukham will put an end to the sorrow. So not only Satvikam Sukham, whether a person revels in sattvic pleasure, whether a person revels in rajasic pleasure, whether a person revels in tamasic pleasure, still reveling in any pleasure, indulgence in any pleasure, will put an end to sorrow, not for good, temporarily. Therefore, it is possible for anyone to train one's mind, to develop some, to have some practice, thereby to develop some taste for something. Thereby one becomes, then one discovers joy in it. Having said this much, this is what Bhagavan means. Abhyasata ramate is very important. How one revels in any degree of pleasure, any type of pleasure. Bhagavan gives a clean thing. Hey Arjuna, sukham is three types. May listen from me, listen to me. And when a person is indulged, when the person indulges himself in enjoyment of any degree of pleasure or any type of pleasure, in fact, temporarily, even he goes to the end of pain, means he is able to resolve the pain temporarily. And how does one revel? How does one indulge in something? How does one discover joy through that? It only when a person develops taste for something. He revels in it. Liking for something. When a person makes the habit, that habit or liking for something, taste for something is possible only when a person is given to the training and practice for some time. Gradually, he develops liking for it. And then in indulging in it, he enjoys joy. And that helps him get rid of sorrow temporarily. Okay, now Bhagavan is going to say in this. Sukham tvidanim trividham shrunume bharatarshabha abhyasadramate yatra dukhantam chani gachati. Now Bhagavan says, next verse. What is sattvikam sukham? Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam. People have just disappeared. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam tatsukham satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam tatsukham satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. Now Bhagavan says here, tat sukham sattvikam proktam. Arjuna, that sukham is said to be sattvikam sukham. Sattvic pleasure, sattvic happiness in fact. That sukham is said to be sattvikam. What is that? He says, yat agre visham iva. Yat tad agre vishamiva pariname amrita upamam. So sattvikam pleasure, sattvikam sukham, sattvikam sukham, sattvic happiness is that, is sattvikam sukham is said to be that yat agre vishamiva, which is like a poison in the beginning. Agre visham iva. Iva means like. So sattvikam sukham is that, or sattvikam sukham is said to be that which is Agre Vishamiva. Agre, in the beginning, the sattvic pleasure, sattvic happiness is said to be that which is like a poison in the beginning. Because it involves certain practices. And Amrita Upamam Pariname. Pariname, in due course of time, in the end, Pariname, as it develops, Pariname, in the end, Amrita Upamam, it is like the nectar, which is like nectar. Then Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. See, Atma Buddhi means, please make a note, the word Buddhi in this verse means Jnanam. Atma Buddhi means Atma Jnanam. Atma Jnanam. And Prasadaha means tranquility. And Jam means that it is born of. So Atma Buddhi Prasadajam means the Sattvikam Sukham is that which is born. Which is born out of the mental tranquility. Mental tranquility as a result of clear vision of the self. Clear knowledge of the self. Atma Buddhi Prasadajam. Buddhi, Atma Buddhi Prasadaha means Prasadaha means here tranquility, serenity. So born of serenity. And the serenity as a result of Atma Buddhi, clear knowledge of self. Therefore, Sattvikam Sukham is said to be that which is born out of the mental, born out of the clear knowledge of the self as a result of mental tranquility. So sattvic sukham is there when a person is absolutely mentally tranquil. When a person enjoys mental tranquility. And the absolute mental tranquility is possible only in self-knowledge. Therefore, it is an Atma Buddhi Prasadajam Sukham. Atma Jnana Prasadajam Sukham is what? Sattvikam Sukham. And this Sattvikam Sukham born out of serenity as a result of clear knowledge of the self is like a like poison in the beginning and which is like the nectar in the end. This sattvikam sukham. Yat tad agre vishamiva pariname amrita upamam atma buddhi prasadajam tat sukham sattvikam proktam. So Arjuna, sattvik sukham is said to be that which is born out of the mental tranquility as a result of clear knowledge of the self, which is like poison in the beginning, which is like nectar in the end. This is the literal translation of the verse, meaning of the verse. See, Bhagavan states in this verse, the sattvikam sukham, the joy, the pleasure, happiness one has as a result of practicing any spiritual discipline also. Suppose if a person has Atma Jnanam, the absolute happiness, the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness, when a person discovers as one's own sarupam, sarupam of the reality, being given to the discipline of shravanam, mananam and dhyasanam, when a person discovers fullness of happiness, in the wake of the knowledge of one's own self, that happiness is what? Moksha sukham is sattvikam sukham. So discovery of fullness of happiness in the wake of clear vision of one's own self is sattvikam sukham. So purnananda anubhava. And which is not, this happiness is not an experience which comes and goes, which is the very swarupam. Purnananda, the fullness of happiness is not an objective experience which comes and goes. It is not a state of mind, but it is the swarupam of one's own self. So it doesn't come and go, it's everlasting. This is also sattvikam sukham. Then, in order to accomplish that, in order to discover fullness of happiness, obtaining as the swarupam of the reality, and thereby to revel in the fullness of happiness as one's own nature, naturally one has to go through the disciplines. Initially, one has to go through the discipline of karma yoga, then one has to go through the discipline of jnana yoga. So to have such sattvikam sukham in terms of fullness of happiness, which is a moksha sukham, one must attain jnanam. To attain jnanam, one must go through the discipline of jnana yoga. And in order to be eligible to attain jnanam, one must go through the discipline of karma yoga. So it involves strain and effort. Therefore, arambe vishamiva. Oh my God. I had to go through the life of karma yoga. Living life of karma yoga means one has to perform one's duties. One has to be conscious of not going against dharma. And one must have the strong will to do always right thing, right, and refrain from the wrong. And one must have mastery over one's mind and sense organs. One must have mastery over one's desires. And for which one must commit oneself to live a life of dharma. One should not compromise with dharma at all. Only by consciously living a life of dharma and with having a proper attitude in performing actions, there must be Ishwarpata Buddhi, and in also in accepting all situations, one must remain with equanimity. Samatvam, one must have very difficult. To have samatvam is very, very difficult. In success and failure, in loss and gain, in all situations, one has to remain the same. One has to try to develop mental equanimity. So one has to do one's duties. So one has to go through the discipline of karma yoga, which involves a strain, which involves efforts, which involves one's strong will, which involves even Bhagavan's grace. So one has to, yes, hardship is involved, nothing is easy. Therefore, arambe vishamiva. Because speaking the truth, not telling lies, not cheating, not betraying, following dharma itself, strictly living a life of values means difficult. So arambe vishamiva. And also following all the disciplines, getting up early in the morning and doing things in right time. At the proper time. So living a disciplined life means it involves strain. It involves pain. Living a disciplined life. So living a life of karma yoga means not only for living a life of values, but living a disciplined life. In disciplined life, you can eat anytime, you can sleep anytime, you can go anywhere, you can do anything, you can eat anywhere, anytime, any amount. There's no discipline means no easy, but you have to strictly live a life of disciplined life means it involves pain, it involves some strain. Therefore, arambe vishamiva. And pariname, but in the end, amrita upam, it is like the nectar. And finally, it will culminate in what? Culminate in living such a life, consciously living a life of karma yoga, governed by dharma, and thereby again going through the discipline of jnana yoga, Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, it all involves strain. So it sounds, initially, it is like a poison because it involves strain and hardship. But ante, then finally, such disciplined life, following the disciplines, result in attainment of jnanam, which itself is moksha. And that is, that's why it's amrita upamam. It is like nectar in the end, because it blesses a person with the accomplishment of self-knowledge. There's no greater accomplishment than the self-knowledge. Therefore, it is amrita upam. It is like the nectar. And he says, atma buddhi prasadajam. So the happiness born out of the mental tranquility. Born out means what? Happiness one discovers as a result of mental tranquility in the wake of clear vision of the self. So what Bhagavan wants to say is, if a person has a purushartha nischeha, then if a person becomes committed to the pursuit of jnanam, then in order to prepare one's mind for the attainment of knowledge, when a person commits himself to live a life of dharma, when he starts living a life of karma yoga, then a person discovers a certain degree of joy, that is sattvikam sukham, even before attaining jnanam. Even before attaining jnanam, even before discovering the fullness of happiness, even as a spiritual person, when a person converts himself into a real spiritual person, from being merely a religious person, from being merely a non-religious person or non-spiritual person, when a person with the purushartha nischaya, with the commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, knowing the value of jnanam, when a person starts his life as a spiritual person, then there is a joy. That sukham, a person which enjoys, is also what? Sattvikam sukham. Then when he strictly lives a life of dharma, then there is a sukham, that is spiritual, that is sattvikam sukham. When a person lives a life of karma yoga, he performs all his actions as an offering to Bhagavan, there is a sukham, that joy, that degree of pleasure, a degree of pleasure a person enjoys is what? Sattvikam sukham. It is not fullness of happiness. Then this Isharpana, Ishar Prasada Buddhi in accepting situations. And when the person tries to be equanimous in all situations, accepting everything as Bhagavan's prasada with sameness of mind, then there is a sukham, that joy, some joy in strictly living a life of karma yoga, following the discipline of karma yoga, there is some sukham. That sukham cannot be explained. Okay, because a person is not being a split personality, there is some inner leisure, there's some sukham, that is sattvikam sukham. Then when a person is involved in shravanam, going through the discipline of jnana yoga, in shravanam, when a person, thinnest layers of vagueness resolve, every time the slightest degree of clarity enhances, then there's a sukham, which is sattvikam sukham. So in doing mananam there's sukham, of course, when a person has a clear, doubt-free understanding, then he's always given to the discipline of contemplation, there's amazing sukham, which is sattvikam sukham. As a result of going through the discipline of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, finally, when a person has a clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of one's own surupam being identical with Paramatma, when the person has jiva, jagat, isha, surupa, aikya, jnanam, when a person discovers all that is, there's only Brahman, aham brahmasmi, the world is Brahman, Ishvara is Brahman, all that is only Brahman, there's nothing which is not Brahman, when a person has a clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the truth, obtaining as one's own self in the wake of clear knowledge of clear vision of one's own sort of one's own self, and there is tranquility and there is sukham, and that sukham is what? Sattvikam sukham. Because sattvikam sukham means not only the discovery of fullness of happiness, but even the certain degree of joy a person experiences, enjoys when he involves himself in following the disciplines as a spiritual person, there is a sukham, that is spiritual, that is sattvikam sukham. That is why arambhe vishamiva. Because in practicing all the disciplines, difficulty is there, it is like a poison in the beginning. But in due course of time, when all the practicing, all following all those disciplines strictly, culminate in the attainment of the vision of the truth obtaining as one's own self, then it is like, you know, is this which enables one have the fullness of happiness, then it is like the nectar. Ante pariname amrita upamam. So sattvikam sukham is in the form of nectar, pariname, and the end. So Bhagavan says, Arjuna, sattvikam sukham proktam yattad. Sattvikam sukham is said to be that which is said to be, which is like the poison, which is like poison in the beginning, and which is like nectar in the end, and which is born out of tranquility one has as a result of clear vision of one's own self. This is sattvikam sukham. Now, next. Vishayendriya sanyogad yattadagre mrutopamam pariname vishamiva tat sukham rajasam smrutam. Vishayendriya sanyogat yattadagre mrutopamam vishayendriya sanyogat yattadagre mrutopamam pariname vishamiva tat sukham rajasam smrutam. Vishayendriya sanyogat yattadagre mrutopamam pariname vishamiva tat sukham rajasam smrutam. So here, tat sukham rajasam smrutam. This 38th verse, Bhagavan says, what is rajasam sukham? What is rajasic happiness? So rajasam sukham, otherwise rajasic happiness, is said to be that. Rajasam sukham tat smrutam. So rajasam sukham, rajasic happiness, is that, is said to be that, yet tad amrita upamam agre. Agre amrita upamam, which is like nectar in the beginning. What does it mean? Which is very pleasant, enjoyable, nice in the beginning. Which is like nectar in the beginning means which is pleasant and enjoyable in the beginning. Whereas sattvikam sukham is agre vishamiva, which is like a poison, means which is not at all pleasant, which involves strain. So here, rajasam sukham is that which is like nectar in the beginning, which is pleasant and enjoyable, nice. But pariname, but in the end, which is like poison, vishamiva, directly opposite. Sattvikam sukham is like a poison in the beginning and is like nectar in the end. Rajasam sukham is that which is like nectar in the beginning but which is like poison in the end. Agre amrutopamam pariname vishamiva. In due course of time, it's like the poison. And this is, what is the sukham? He says, Vishaya Indriya Sanyogat. Vishaya Indriya Sanyogat. you have to supply, is born of. So the happiness, the pleasure, born out of association of sense organs with their respective sense objects. So Vishaya Sukham, it is not Atma Swarupa Sukham, it is a Vishaya Sukham, experiential Ananda. It is not Purna Anandaha. It is not Brahma Anandaha. It is not the nature of one's own self, but it is a time, it is a state of mind, a time-bound pleasure. So Vishaya Sukham, it means Vishaya Indriya Sanyogat. Vishayaha means object. Indriya means sense organ. Sanyogaha means contact. Sanyogat, because of the contact between Vishayaha, sense objects, and Indriyani, sense objects. Because of the contact between sense organs and sense objects, there's a joy experienced. And the joy, a pleasure born out of the contact between sense organs and sense objects. Sense organs is said to be Rajasam Sukham, Rajasic happiness. So, Vishaya Indriya Sanyogat Yat Tad Agre Amrutopamam Pariname Vishamiva Tat Sukham Rajasam Smritam. So, Rajasic happiness is said to be that which is like nectar, pleasant, enjoyable in the beginning. And Pariname Vishamiva, which is like the poison in the end, which is not at all pleasant, desirable. And such sukham is born out of the contact between sense objects and sense organs. So the pleasure experienced as a result of sense organs coming in contact with the respective objects, the sensory pleasures, is what is Rajasam Sukham. So Bhagavan says, in fact, enjoyment of any pleasure we enjoy in life, the enjoyment of pleasure itself is because of the sense organs coming in contact with their respective sense objects. Sukham, sukha dukkha anubhavaha, pain or pleasure, any pain or pleasure, is what? Is experience of any pain or pleasure, experience of any parts of opposites, is possible only when sense organs come in contact with their respective objects. Therefore, definitely the pleasure enjoyed also is born out of the sense organs, the contact of sense organs with their respective objects. Of course, Bhagavan has blessed all of us with Pancha Gyanendriyani. And each organ has its own respective sense object. And the entire world of objects, the entirety of the external world of objects, Pancha Bhautikaha Prapanchaha, is in the form of five different objects, perceptible through five different sense organs. Pujya Swamiji used to say this. Ah, what big universe. The entire universe can be reduced to fivefold objects. There is no sixth object in the world. Anything and everything in the world can be categorized into the fivefold objects. There's no sixth object. So what is this universe? The universe is that which is constituted of five types of objects, perceptible through five different sense organs. In terms of what are those objects? Shabdas, parsha, rupa, rasa, gandhaha. Shabdas, parsha, rupa, rasa, gandhaha, pancha vishayaha. These are the five sense objects. Sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. the five sense objects. And these are perceptible, experienceable, enjoyable only through sense organs. So each sense organ is associated with its respective objects. So this world of fivefold objects is experienced and enjoyed through five sense organs. And the sense organs have to come in contact with them only in the waking state. When the mind is functional, the sense organs are backed by conscious mind, thoughts. Then the perception of the world is possible. Then when the perception of the external world is possible, then the experience, when the sense organs come in contact with their respective objects, then experience of pleasure is possible. Therefore, such sukham. So any degree of pleasure experienced as a result of sense organs coming in contact with their respective objects is Rajasam Sukham. And this Sukham, Arambe Amritam Iva. In the beginning, it's very pleasant and enjoyable, and it's nice because it helps you forget yourself, forget your pain. Therefore, it is nice. But it is all objects are subject to time. Therefore, when the given object which becomes an instrument of triggering your own diffraction of fullness, which helps you enjoy the pleasure, any external object which helps you enjoy that pleasure is subject to time. When the given so-called object of pleasure, even though no object is a source of pleasure, any object and every object is only instrumental in helping you enjoy the pleasure which is your own suru, which is from yourself. The object is lost, object undergoes a change, object gets destroyed, then the pleasure associated with the object also will be lost. Therefore, Arambe, which is initially it's very enjoyable and pleasant and nice, it is like Amritam, Arambe. But when you lose it, Ante Pariname Vishamiva. It's very painful. It is like a poison. Poison means what? It is painful because no sensory pleasure. Pleasure enjoyed as a result of sense organs coming in contact with the respective objects is a time-bound pleasure because objects are time-bound. Sense organs are time-bound. And any experience itself is time-bound because it is a state of mind. So any experience of pleasure, state of mind, and subject to change, with time-bound in nature. Therefore, when a person who is involved in enjoyment of sensory pleasures, when he happens to lose them, because it will come to an end. It's not permanent. There's no permanent pleasure. Then it results in the experience of pain. Therefore, ante vishamiva. Any sensory pleasure which makes you feel pleased in the beginning, is subject to get lost. Therefore, it will also result in experiencing pain. Therefore, it is like a poison in the end. So whether living beings or non-living things, relatives, relationships, positions, possessions, in enjoying anything, enjoyment of anything involves what? The contact of sense organs with their objects. Only then pleasure is possible. And that pleasure definitely is time-bound in nature. It's all subject to change. It's called Vishayanandaha. For which a given object becomes instrumental in enjoying this pleasure. So Rajasam Sukham is not permanent Sukham. Because it's not a Surupa Sukham. See, when this sensory pleasure which a person enjoys as a result of sense organs coming in contact with the respective objects, subject to get lost. So it will come to an end. Then what happens? Whenever the object of enjoyment is lost, when the experience of pleasure also is not possible, then there's a big vacuum. That given object which I've been enjoying for so long, that object is no more, means there's a big vacuum. You miss the object, and missing the company, missing the person, missing the object is a misery. So not only there's a big vacuum, then naturally, because you're so used to enjoying certain things in life, and when you don't have an object anymore for enjoyment, then that you start missing the object or person, then that missing is a misery. Missing the company is a misery. Missing the companionship is misery. Missing the association is misery. And then you can say certain degree of depression. And the degree of depression will go to the extent of completely losing oneself in grief. So emptiness, grief, losing oneself in grief, etc. These are all unavoidable consequences of experiencing rajasic pleasure. Therefore, now it is in our hands to choose whether we want non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting Swarupa Sukham, which is Satvikam Sukham, or whether we are craving for arriving, departing, time-bound, sensory pleasure, Vishaya Sukham, which is enjoyable as a result of sense organs coming in contact with their respective objects. We have choice between this. We should choose Vishaya Sukham, which is Rajasam Sukham, or Swarupa Sukham, which is Satvikam Sukham. Swarupa Sukham is Satvikam Sukham. Vishaya Sukham is Rajasam Sukham. Okay. So it's in our hands. Which Sukham we want. We cannot say, I do not want any Sukham at all. That we cannot say. We have no choice. I do not want any Sukham at all, you cannot say. Even if whether you say or not, Sukham is not there for you always. But Sukham is, we are desperately searching for Sukham. But which Sukham we want? There we have choice. Okay. We'll do one more verse and stop. It's okay. Okay. So I didn't elaborate on this because you are very brilliant people. You know how it is. I didn't give many examples here. But a simple pleasure born of enjoying watching a television serial, or enjoying any house or wealth, or enjoying the company of people, everything subject to get lost. So association with anything and everything will one day result in dissociation. And having got used to enjoying those things for so many years, suddenly when we lose also, when we are deprived of enjoying those objects, of course, then the pain will be much worse. As we arambe amrutam amrutam Anparaname Vishmiva. It results in great pain. It is Ajasam Sukham. Yattadagre chanu bandhe. Yadagre chanu bandhe cha. Please make a correction. Yadagre, not yattadagre. Yadagre chanu bandhe cha. Sukham mohanam atmanaha. Nidralasya pramadottam. Tattamasamudahritam. Yadagre chanu bandhe cha. Sukham mohanam atmanaha. Nidralasya pramadottam. Tattamasamudahritam. Yadagre chanu bandhe cha. Sukham mohanam atmanaha. Nidralasya pramadottam. Tattamasamudahritam. Now, what is tamasam sukham? Already we have a choice which sukham we should choose. Now, already is made very clear. We must, if we are intelligent people, and definitely choicelessly, we will choose. Okay, help. We will choose only sattvikam sukham. We will carefully avoid choosing rajasam sukham. Now, Bhagavan talks about tamasam sukham. What is tamasam sukham? Yad agre cha anubandhe cha sukham yad sukham mohanam atmanaha mohanam nidra alasya pramadottam tat tamasam udahritam. Yes, Arjuna, tamasam sukham udahritam means tad tamasam sukham udahritam. Means tamasik sukham. Tamasik sukham. Or tamasik sukham. Tamasam sukham is said to be that. Tad udahritam means is said. So tamasik happiness is said to be that. Yad atmanaha mohanam. Atmanaha means that which deludes the mind. Already mind is deluded. Again, that which deludes the mind. So tamasik sukham is said to be that which deludes the mind. When agrecha, in the beginning, anubandhecha, anubandha here means the end. Please make a note. Anubandha here means the end. Therefore, agrecha anubandhecha. So the sukham, the pleasure, the happiness, which deludes the mind in the beginning and also in the end. Throughout, it is delusive happiness, delusive pleasure. When does it delude? Tamasam sukham is that which deludes the mind in the beginning as well as also in the end. Throughout, it is highly delusive. Tamasic pleasure is highly delusive throughout, in the beginning as well as in the end. Then, nidra alasya pramada uttam. I'll tell you the literal meaning and stop the class. Nidra alasya pramada uttam. Uttam means born of. And tamasic sukham, which deludes the mind in the beginning and in the end, is born out of sleep. Born out of. Uttam means born out of. What? Nidra, sleep. Alasyam, laziness or indolence. And pramadaha means negligence. So nidra, sleep. Alasyam, laziness or indolence. And pramadaha means negligence. So tamasic pleasure is that which is born out of sleep, indolence, laziness, and negligence. So it always keeps the person deluded. That's why it said arambe antecha anubandecha, means always tamasic happiness will delude the person's mind always. Tamasic happiness always is delusive. Delusive what? Definitely mind only. It's understood. We don't need to say. Atmanaha mohanam means delusive of the mind. Mohanam means delusive. That which deludes. Delusive of what? Delusive of the mind. So tamasic happiness is said to be that which is delusive of the mind, that which deludes the mind in the beginning and in the end, and which is born out of sleep, laziness, and negligence. Okay. See, tamasam sukham. What is tamasam sukham? Let me tell you. When all of you fall asleep in, okay, now I don't know whether in Bhagavad Gita class you have tamasam sukham. Hope you do not have. Tamasam sukham is the sukham which a person enjoys in deep sleep state. When you're fast asleep, then the sukham you have is what? Of course, tamasam sukham only. There's a sukham, isn't it? Why tamasam sukham? Because when you do not know your own existence, when you do not know the existence of the world, when you do not have the knowledge of, when you do not know the existence of anything in the world, when you are just yourself, not knowing your own existence, in total ignorance, there is bliss. That sukham is what? Tamasam sukham. Okay. Now, what about in being, sometimes people are very, very lazy. In remaining lazy without doing anything, there is some sukham. Why? No physical strain, no physical exertion, simply sitting in a corner, watching television, eating chips, or sitting something. We may not like it. I don't like it, but we may say that. But there are people who like such life. Sitting, not doing anything physically, no physical exertion at all. And for more than to add to that, they also watch something, television, and they also munch chips and things, drink, eat, watch, and lazy life. Why do people like such life? Okay, there is some sukham. Some people may not like such sukham, but there are some people who like such sukham. That sukham, that happiness is what? Tamasam sukham. So in laziness, that's what it said. Alasyam. Okay, in remaining lazy, there is some sukham. Because this person does not do anything physically. The maximum he gets up and moves around only for eating, only for drinking, only to do some, when the natural calls are there, he has to exert a little bit. The physical doesn't exert at all anything. Such a lazy person enjoys some sukham. That is what? Tamas sukham. So, nidra, alasya, pramada, uttam, sukham. The sukham born out of sleep, laziness, and negligence is tamasam sukham. And it always keeps the mind deluded. Tamasam sukham deludes the mind always, initially, and also in the end. nidra, sleep, alasyam, this is sukham born out of non-physical exertion, a non-hard working, non-working, laziness, instead to be indolence. And pramadaha, yeah, Tamil pramadaha, okay? Pramadaha means the person is very careless, and the person is known for negligence. I mean, the person is not bothered about what's going to happen, what will be the consequence, how should I do, what should I do now. So it means the person who is not at all worried about, not worried means what? Not at all considerate, not simply worried. The person is not at all considerate about anything which is going to happen. There's no involvement in knowing what is happening. Therefore, there's no contribution on the part of this person to bring about some change. And whatever happens, they'll say what? Oh, it's all my fate. It's all my fate. I had to go through this in life. It's all their fate that they go through in life. So these people who do not exercise their will at all, these are the people who unuse and abuse their will. The people of tamasic will. Therefore, they don't even make use of their will. They abuse or unuse their will. Therefore, they're very much given to taking everything as destiny ordained. So they are fatalistic people, because they don't make use of their will. People who do not make use of the will, proper use of the will, are the people, are the fatalist people. Highly fatalistic. It means they are not responsible. They're very irresponsible, that they cannot take responsibility for their own future. So the people who are fatalistic, or the people who abuse or unuse their willpower, such people do not take charge of their own future. Why they do not take charge of their future? Because in their minds, they've already concluded that everything, whatever happens in life, is already predestined, predetermined. Nothing can be changed. So as fatalistic people, they do not take charge of their future. And such people are said to be such people, naturally, they have sukkam. And their sukkam is in always what? Their sukkam is in simply building castles in the air, physically without exerting, mentally they're thinking of achieving things. And they'll also talk to other people, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But simply they say everything orally. They speak, but they do not act. Such daydreamers, people who are very lazy and who has a certain degree of sukham in remaining dull, in remaining lazy, in remaining not taking responsibility, not taking charge of one's own future. So negligence implies people who are given the enjoyment of tamasic sukham are the people who cannot take charge of their future. Therefore, Bhagavan says, this is tamasam sukham. If a person is interested in enjoying tamasam sukham, I tell you, it is not possible for him to live a life of karma yoga. It is not possible for him to be a karma yogi. It is not possible for him at all to prepare his mind. Mental stillness will be impossible for that person. Mental purification will be impossible for that person. So the person of tamasic sukham, tamas sukham, cannot grow physically, mentally at all. Attaining mental purification, mental stillness is impossible for him. Therefore, even following dharma is not practical for him. So as a non-doer, as a lazy person, the person who is interested only in simply talking, not in doing things, so such a person has some sukham. That sukham is tamasam sukham. I will stop now. Any questions? Okay, I'll see you all next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.